Okay, so we are going to attempt to learn Igeres HaKodesh Mikhtav Hey, Igeres Hey, Igeres 5, which is extraordinarily difficult. I don't think I've ever put in as much time in preparing a Perek as much as I tried in this one.
Q&A mode is on. Participants may now unmute themselves.
And you need to know after all is said and done.
Presentation mode is on. Only organizers can be heard.
Most of this will remain a mystery to us, but there's a lot we can glean from it. And as we will see in the next week or two, there is a chapter of Mara Naim, grab a chair, Nachum, that Mamish mirrors this chapter in Tanya. So it's very cool to see how two disciples of the Maggid both came to the same understanding of the same Yisayt. So the Pasuk says, Vayaz David Shem. David made a name for himself. Now the simple explanation of this is that David made a name for himself. It's on page 212 in the Tanya, in the regular printing. Let me make sure you're in the right place. Give me that a second. You're not. So that's the simple reading. The simple reading is that David went out to battle, he was victorious, and he made a great name for himself. Okay, that's the common understanding of the pasuk. However, Upirish B'Zoyer HaKadosh, the Zoyer writes, Mishum Shenema Bayi David Oysa Mishpat Utsdarka V'Cholamai. The pasuk says about David HaMelech that he did righteousness and tzedakah and charity L'Cholamai, for all of his nation. Says the Zoyer, Bocha Rib Shimon. Rib Shimon wept. Yoman, he said, Man Ovid Shema Kadisha B'Chol Yoyma. Who is the one who makes a holy name each and every day? Man diyov tzedakah lemiskineh. The person who gives tzedakah to the poor. So comes the Zohar and says the pasuk's not talking about a name for David HaMelech. The pasuk is talking about that David made Hashem's name. Well, what does that mean? How does David HaMelech create Hashem's name? What does that mean? The Yuvan explains the Baal Tanya as follows. Be'ekdim ma'imer chazal al posik ki beka Hashem tzurelom. The Gemara tells us on the posik that says that beka with the name of Yud and then Hey, Hashem tzur elamim, Hashem created the world, says the Gemara, Behei nivra elam azeh, that this world was created with the letter Hey, B'yud nivra elam abo. Rashi quotes this in Chumash as well, that Hashem used the letter Hey to create this world, he used the letter Yud to create the world to come. Again, mystery upon mystery. Pirish, she'atainug shemis angim nishmais hatzadikim. The pleasure that the souls of the righteous receive. V'nehenim iziv ha-shechina. And they take pleasure, they bask in the rays of the Shechina. Ha-meir b'gan Eden, that illuminate in Gan Eden, Elyon v'tachtim. So we know that in Gan Eden there's a upper place of pleasure and a lower place of pleasure. Now these are not two areas. It's not like there's a downtown Chicago and uptown Chicago. So it's not like Gan Eden has two areas. What we're talking about are two levels of pleasure, and we'll see in a minute how you can have the same place have two levels of pleasure. Nonetheless, we understand that there is a Gan Eden Elyon, there's an upper Gan Eden, and there's a lower Gan Eden. So that is who Shemis Angim, that is a place where the souls of the Tzadikim are able to take pleasure behasagosam vahaskalosam, in their attaining and their grasp. So the two terms here, haskala and hasaga. A person can understand something, but it's not theirs. To have a hasoga means they acquired it. It's mine. Okay? What does that mean? So he explains further. Shemaskilim v'yoidim. The neshamas, when they are released, there's a malbim in Bereshis, in Parshas Bereshis, that refers to this process as being the neshama being released from the prison of the body that prevents the neshama from really getting its pleasure. Because as long as the neshama is imprisoned in the physical body, it really can't, the body acts as a barrier so that the neshama cannot really enjoy its relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Steinsaltz gives an example of a welder. You know, they wear that mask, the face mask that darkens so they see just barely a percent of what they're doing, because they would be completely blinded if they were to look and see what they're really doing. He says the same thing. When a person is Isaac in Torah and mitzvahs in this world, if we were to receive the benefit, if we were to perceive the real relationship that we're creating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it would be overwhelming to the point where the person would not be able to tolerate it. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo creates a barrier called the guf. And the guf blocks the rays of the Shekhinah, and we can't go and enjoy that until after we're out of the prison of this body. So there, the neshamas go on. Again, they can't obviously grasp everything, but they're able to grasp something of what? Be'er, of the illumination, v'chius, and the life source, ha'shefei Hashem, that flows there me'ein sof baruch from the infinite. And the difference between Gan Eden and this world is the following, that there in Gan Eden, it's b'b'chines gilui. The difference is that in the world to come, and in Gan Eden, Hashem's presence is open, it's revealed. And therefore the neshamas are able to enjoy it, whereas in this world it is completely concealed. So there it's b'b'chines gilui l'nishmasam, v'ruach binasam, up to the top of Kuv Zayin, lahavin, to understand, ulahasig, and to grasp, eza asoga, somewhat of asoga. Now we have to, the reason he's stressing this so much is because as great as a neshama might be, it's still a creation. So you're dealing with a nivra, a creation, trying to relate to the answer, trying to relate to the infinite. Those two are not compatible. And therefore, each neshama is going to be limited, no matter what, to a certain amount of godliness that it's able to absorb. Kol echad v'echad, the top of the page, each and every neshama, lefi madrigos, according to the level, the quality of the soul, ulefi masiv, and according to the actions and what it did in this world to attain its level for which it's going to receive reward. Ulechein nikra olam haba b'shem bina b'zayir HaKadosh. For this reason, the world to come is referred to in the Zohar with the term Bina. Okay? V'ashpa zu nimsheches mibchines chochmi lo shu mikoyer haskola v'asoga. So what are we talking about? We're saying that the neshamas, as they exist in the world of the souls, you're hearing? In the world of the neshamas, grasp something. They're able to absorb. They're able to experience something. They're able to experience it on the level of bina. So let's define some terms here. We refer to the three intellectual koiches as Deya Bina Vahaskil, or Chachma Bina Vidas. Okay? Chachma is a flash of information, but it's unprocessed. It needs to then be taken and to be processed. After it's processed, it can be integrated. So let's take for the moment, a guy's walking in the woods and he sees a grizzly bear. Okay? The sight of the grizzly bear is chachma. There's no processing yet. Okay? Information. Grizzly bear. Bina is, he don't like me. I don't like him. I am in danger. I need to act. Das is taking that information and integrating it and doing something about the situation. So Chachma is without any relationship to it. There's no emotion with Chachma, because the step of that grizzly bear is dangerous to me is already Bina. Chachma is the simple flash of information. Now, everything is contained in that flash of information, but it has to be processed, okay? What happens in Gan Eden is Bina. What happens in Gan Eden is that the neshamas are able to enjoy. Enjoying means that there's already a relationship to the information, okay? Let's see it inside. Second line, Ulachain Nikra Ilam Haba, therefore for this reason the world to come is referred to Bishem Bina Bizayra Kaddish. Vashpa Zunim Shekhes Mibchinis Chachmila. This flow of energy comes from the highest wisdom, Shum Mikaira Skala Vasaga, which is the source of any understanding, of any grasping, Hanikra Bishem Bina, which is the next stage called Bina. Vehu kadmus haseichel, this is before any intellectual process, meaning kaidem sheba lechlal giloy hasaga v'avona, before it comes to any intellectual grasping at all. Rakadaini bepchinas helem v'hester, it's completely and totally concealed. Rak, it's just shema'at, there's a drop. Mizeyasham, a drop here, a drop there. Shefeya comes forth, v'nimshach misham, that comes forth from Chachma, the Bchiras Bina, that comes into the world of understanding. Lahavin alahasig, to be able to understand and to grasp, seichel hanelam, that concealed seichel. So, you have a mass amount of, I don't know, you've probably all been in the company of somebody who is just eons ahead of us in understanding and grasping an idea.
That's what I feel when I come here.
Yeah. And then you come into that person's presence and they want to take something and they want to share something with you, and you realize that when you're sitting with Einstein and he wants to explain to you 1 + 1 = 2, that this is so beneath Einstein's abilities, but you are getting something of Einstein's wisdom, okay? So l'chein nikra b'shem nekuda b'heichol b'zayar kodesh. This idea of the spark of Chachma operating in a world of Bina, a world where it goes from there to understanding, is referred to in the Zohar as a flink of light in the chamber. You have a whole chamber of understanding of things, and here you have different people are going to understand in a different way. One person is going to see a grizzly bear and say, hey, I could do some hunting now. Right? Another guy like me is going to say, run for your life. That ain't going to help. So again, there's where Bina is always going to be custom tailored to the one who's doing the understanding. Chachma is pure. Chachma is not subject to the kli of the recipient. It's just the information. And that's going to be equal for all participants. So where do we see this referred to? Says, and this is the concept that we're going to see in the Maranaim, Vizu Tmunas Yud. This is the concept of the letter Yud. We have 22 letters in the alphabet. every letter starts with a yud. Because what's a yud? A yud is a pintala. It's one drop. Okay? That's the yud shel shem Avaya Baruch Hu. That's the yud of Hashem's name of Avaya. Because the name of yud and then hey and then vav and then hey is the name of creation. That's the name where the Hashem is Mahav. Hashem brings everything into existence. It all starts with a yud. V'nikra Eden, it's called Eden. Asha'olam Nemar, about Eden, it says, I and Lairasa of the Kim Zilasecha. There's no eye that can possibly grasp Eden. What can a person grasp? Gan Eden. That is graspable. That is something. The Gan, the garden that comes from Eden, that's where these holy souls can bask. But in Eden itself, Eden is the Yud. Eden is the place which is just the lightning bolt, but it's not digestible to anybody. V'nikra, it's called Abba, the Father. This is again Kabbalistic language in the Zohar. Abba Yosad Brata. The Father established the daughter. He's going to get into that a little bit later. Now, what are you looking for?
The time.
Perish. Kihine. He says, let's put this into a little bit more understandable human terms. This is really neat and really disturbing at the same time. He says, let's analyze this. Kihine hisavus oisius hadibra. This is one of these things that we should have thought about many times but never thought of. He says, let's talk about the formation of how we talk. Okay? Hayotzis mehe mitzoyes hapeh. There are five tools that each of us have in our mouths that format letters. Okay? They are the throat letters, ches, chaf, kuf, kaf. The Sfardim do that. Then you have the lip letters, bays, pay, mem, it's bumif, pay, right? Then you have the teeth letters, tes, tuf, samach, shin, right? There are the tongue letters are nun. Each one of them has a bunch of letters associated. So there's five, huh? Lamed, la la, right? That's also the tongue. Anyway, so there are five.
The palate.
There are five. That's the tongue and the palate. They come together, right? Lamed, yeah. So five mitzvahs are the five tools that allow the letters to be formatted. Now, he says, "Einan davar muskel." That is not the process of intelligence, the way we format the letters. And it's not part of the nature of these five tools, to express the formation of letters, through the vapor that comes up, and the voice, and that strikes them. It's not natural to them, it's not intellectual. Kegain, for instance, hasvasayim al derech mashal. Let's talk about the lips. Sha'isi is bumef. These four letters, beis, vav, mem, pei, yaitzis mem, they come from the lips. Ein ateva, it's not natural. V'lo yaseichel, it's not intellectual. Noisein, that contributes liyitzias mivta ar bechel kishinoi, that give out. How does the lip decide whether it should say above, a beis, a vav, a mem, or a pei? How does the lip make that decision? He says it's not intellectual and it's not natural. It has to do with how hard the lip presses to make the various shimis nanais behevel echad v'kod echad. The vapor and the voice in all four of those letters is absolutely the same. Hapagebem, that strikes the lip, b'shava, they're all equal. V'adirabem. So what is the difference? He says, the difference of why the lips will produce a pay rather than a bays, is he the fishini bitu yoisi shabrotzen anefesh levate bisfasayim kiritsoina? The difference in what the lips are going to produce is not an intellectual decision and not a natural decision of the lips. It comes from the soul level. The soul is going to command the lips. The lips are going to respond to the nefesh. The nefesh has built into it these 22 sounds. And the soul will express itself through these tools, through these five tools. Vayma, to say, Oiz Beis, Oivav, Oimem, Oipei. V'loy lehepech, it's not the opposite. To say, Shiyarotzen ha-nefesh v'kavanosa, that the soul and its intent is going to be la'asoy shinit tenuyas ha-sosayim, is going to be to order the lips to do as it wants. K'may Shem isnanes ata b'biti dal jesi yaseila. The lips automatically express the desire of these letters that are built into the neshama. Ukenira bechush, he says, anybody sees this, obviously. She'ena nefesh miskavenes v'yedas, the soul can't possibly focus and know lechaven klal shinu tenuyas ha-sfasayim b'shinuyim elu. It's not like the soul somehow has or orders around the lips to do these things. Rather, v'yoyse nirken, he says, I'll give you another, even a more edel example. He says, what he's trying to say is that the tools of the mouth, these five tools of the mouth, are a automatic expression, a natural expression of the neshama. He says, let me give you even a more edel expression. Same letter, different vowels. Okay, so you have a beis with a patach underneath it. It's going to be ba. A beis with a kamatz underneath it is going to be ba. Okay, same letter. V'yoysen nirikei b'biti anekudish about shekesha nefesh, when the soul ritzoina has a desire lohitzi mipia, to give out of its mouth. Nekudish kamatz, the sound of a kamatz. Azayim emelo, automatically, nikbatzim asfasayim. To make an aw sound, the lips have to come together like in a circle. Ubepatach, and when you want to say the ah sound, niftachim asfasayim. That's why it's called a pasach and a kometz. The word kometz means to close. The word patach means to open. V'lay shirotzen ha-nefesh likmetz. It's not that the soul desires to restrain, v'lay niftachim to open klal u'klal. V'ein la'ach b'davar pashat, the moving of muskel, the curl muskel. He says, I'm not going to continue elaborating on something, page 214, which is so obvious to any thinking person. That the expression of letters and vowels, it supersedes logic and intellect. It's something which is super logical. It's a direct expression of the neshama. It is something that supersedes the intellect, the kadmus hasechel shebenefesh medaberes, and it's before the intellect of the speaking being. So speech supersedes seichel. This is a great explanation for some of my sisters. Ulechein, because clearly they're not using their seichel when they're speaking. Ulechein. Ain hatinik yochelidaber. Af shemevin hakar. Look at this last line. Ulechein, and for this reason, babies cannot speak, even though they clearly understand. What's the proof that he's trying to bring you? He's saying like this. You could have a bright kid. Clearly, the kid understands. You tell him what to do. Kid goes and does it. The kid, in fact, can communicate with you by pointing to things. He wants something, and we all know, we've seen stubborn kids who at age 1 and 2 know exactly what they want. They can't express it, but they know exactly what they want, and they won't budge until they get it. And yet, this talent of the Koyach HaDibur, which has not yet matured, is not there. Now it's trying to prove that the koyach haseichel, that the intellectual power and the power of speech are two completely different tracks. The proof is that these little kids, these toddlers, have full understanding and yet cannot speak. So it's something that has to mature in the child, and it is an expression of a mature neshama, but it's not contingent upon the development of the seichel. Now, take that a step further. Next paragraph. Ach, ha'isiyos, the letters, hen b'pchinas chaymer v'tzura. Every letter has, as everything in the world has, there's a chaymer v'tzura. Let's take a piece of wood, okay? So the word wood is a chaymer, it's matter, and it takes on a shape. You can make a desk, you can make a cane, you can make a bookshelf, you can do all kinds of things with wood. So letters have also their form and their substance, okay? What is the form and the substance of the letters? Hanikra pnimius vichitzonius. There is the internal and the external. Which means as follows. Ki agam shem mikoyin umikad mesaseichel, even though I just proved to you that the root of letters supersedes intellect, v'rotzen ha-nefesh, zu hu b'chines tzuras shinoi ha-mivte shebechav beiz oisius. The different ways it expresses itself is the tzura, is the shape of the letter, the 22 letters. They all have different ways of expressing themselves. Avo b'chines ha-choymer v'guf hisavusan, but the substance of the letter and its the material of what it's made up of, and that it's that which you end up hearing, who hahevel hayoytze me'alev, that's the vapor, right? What every letter that's spoken has a sound. That sound comes from deep within us. If you want to take it before it reaches here, the voice, all 22 letters have the exact same substance, which is the voice of the person, right? Ve'achakach, and only when it reaches the throat, is it nechlak, is it divided, l'chav beis havoris, into 22 different forms of bitui and expressions of the chav beis havoris, and the 22 letters, utilizing behemotzois, the five tools, hayidois, of aleph ches, hey, ayin, ar mehagorin. Those four letters come from the throat. Gichik, me'achayach, those are from the palate, and so on. Umivta ha-hevel, but the expression, what's the substance of all the letters? Who is hey? The hey is the unformed letter. Hey is straight vapor, unlike every other letter that in some way is formatted. The letter hey is straight, unadulterated vapor and voice. Okay? That's the letter A. That's what all of this was heading towards, is to get to the substance of what the letter A is. It's also Klila Delezbe Mashosha, is the language of the Zohar. It's the pure voice. V'hu Makar HaChomer, it is the source of the substance. V'guf HaOsius, and the body of all the letters, Terem is chalkusan, before they have been divided, l'chav beis, into the 22 forms. U'lechein amr chazal, for this reason chazal say, sh'olam hazeh nivra behei, that this world was created with a hay. Huh? Sure. Okay. Now, it's going to become hopefully clear as we go on. So the hey is the letter that went through the least amount of change and processing. If you want to stick to unprocessed foods, you want to stick to unprocessed letters, stick to the hey. Now, that's right. Vehine. Next paragraph. We got to get through this part of it because it's just it's fascinating to me that you'll see when he gets to the point of tzedakah. The whole letter is to teach us the importance of tzedakah. But to go through this complicated Kabbalistic stuff to get to the point is so amazing. But he knew what he was doing. All right, Vine. Hagam shehi hei tato. Even though the letter hey that we're talking about here, remember there's two heys in Hashem's name, right? There's yud and then hey, and then there's vav and hey. So we're talking about the last hey, which is hey achreinu shebashem avaya. Yet, Chazal darshu zal posik ki beka. Chazal darshan is about the first hey. It says ki biyud hey. That's referring to the first two letters of Hashem's name. I know the fish and mikoyde v'reshis alavay the pchinas givim ha'elam ayud. The beginning of the expression when it goes from a yud to becoming a hey, humush bavanim shem pchinas hey law. That starts from the first hey. Sheyesh law hispashtus oirech v'reichem. Now, the issue here is like this: if you want to take and create a hey, you have to start with a yud. Every letter starts with a yud. What do you do if you want to start with a yud and make a hay? So you got to take the hay, and you got to drag it wide, and you got to drag it down, right? That's how you can end up starting the letter hay, right? So it's oirech, it's length, v'reichem, and height. Now, what that, let's put this back into the intellectual terms that we were talking about earlier. Go back to the grizzly bear. The picture of the grizzly bear is the yud. The picture. The fact. Process it. Oh, a grizzly bear. I need to act. I need to do something. Fear. That's reichiv. That's expanse. You're taking the idea and you are doing something with it. You're applying it. You're processing it. So there's different levels of intellectual processing. There's the width and there's the length. There's what we do with it. There's all kinds of different levels of expression. Okay? That is lahayis abchinis bina. When it goes from a yud to a hey, it goes from chachma to bina shuispashtus haseichel anelam. That is the broadening of the concealed seichel bebchinis gilui to a revealed way vahasoga berachovas hadas, to an expanse of understanding, vahashpa osa mistayemes belev. Its impact concludes in the emotion. That's where every good piece of intellectual information should result in an emotional reality. Now, emotions are not intellect, but that's where emotions are supposed to. Emotions are the ultimate realization of a true intellectual piece of information. Like it says in the Tikkun Ezer, de bina liba. Ultimately, bina ends up in the heart, which is the emotions. Uba halev maven. Bina is the process where the heart understands. Umisham, and it is from there, yoytze ahevel. We know that the vapor escapes from the heart. Mikor gilui guf ha'isius hadibor, that's the source of the revelation of these letters of speech. Hamizgalis behemetzois, that are revealed in the five tools. Mehelem ha'yud, from its original concealed state of the sharp, tiny yud. Utmunas hei tato b'ksivosa, and as we see the picture of a hey in its written form, is gam kein b'espashtus erech v'rech, meaning it's not just in the breath of a hey, but even in its written form, it has breath and width. That's meira l'espashtus p'kunus malchusa yizbarach, that's the ultimate expression of Hashem's kingdom. As we say in the pasuk, Malchus Chamalchus Kalei Lomim Lamaylo Lamata, it's all the worlds above and below, with the Dalad Sit in all four directions. Hamispashtos v'nimshachos ma'osis Dvar Hashem, that are drawn from the letters of Hashem's word. K'meshuksib b'kehelas Pashadibar Melech Shilton. The pasuk says there that the key of all Malchus is in speech. So you can have a ruler like Stalin that rules by might. A king communicates with speech. Malchus, by definition, is always conveyed through a speech. Okay? So that's what the pasuk refers to, that divar melech. It is the word of the king that creates his rulership. As he writes elsewhere. The problem is that these five tools and all that kind of stuff works very well with humans. God does not have lips, nor a throat, nor a palate, nor a tongue. So what are we talking about when we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating with Osius? And the Osius are the processing of the Hevel. When did the Rebbe Shalom don't got none of this stuff? What are we talking about? That's the bracket. Ulahavan ma'at mizeir, to understand a little tiny bit. Ininimus Osius hadibur belakus, when we want to talk about the letters of speech when vis-a-vis God, she'en l'dimus haguf, who has no shape, we already explained this in the long or short way in the chapters that we learned, especially in Shari Yichud V'Emunah. So all of this is borrowed language that we learn from human experience and we project it onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu so that we can understand that process in godliness, but not to say, God forbid, that the Ribbono Shel Olam has any physical qualities. In fact, well, we all know the teaching of the Maggid, how he explains the Gemara, Bereshis Bara Elikim Es Hashamayim. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah says the world was created with 10 utterances. It says, Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem said, Hashem said. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? There's only 9. It says the Gemara, Bereshis Nami Naimer. Bereshis is also a statement. Well, what's the statement of Bereshis? It says the Magid, Bereshis Bara Likim Es. The first thing God created was Aleph through Tav. Because if you're going to create with words, you need letters with which to create. So before you're going to create anything with words, you got to create an alphabet.
It's Lego.
Yes. Spiritual Lego. Now, alright, we'll take it up from here next week. As in my brother?